it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Does that surprising Najee Harris contract move put the ground and pound Steelers in doubt? Welcome to the Steelers update from Penn Live, where we keep track of all things Steelers. So you don't have to. This is John Lucy reporting. All signs pointed to a major upgrade in the Steelers' running game for 2024. New offensive coordinator Arthur Smith relishes pounding the football. Pittsburgh's past two drafts have totally remade the once shaky offensive line into a team strength. And the Steelers boast a 1-2 punch in the backfield that complement one another as perfectly as their nickname, Thunder and Lightning. As Coach Mike Tomlin predicted right after the draft, we're going to roll some people. Alas, all the budding confidence and building momentum for what appeared to be a glorious ground-and-pound Steelers attack suffered something of a flat tire last week when the team announced it would not be picking up Najee Harris's fifth-year option. This means the former 2021 first-round draft pick, who amassed three straight 1,000-yard seasons and played in all 17 games last year, could be free to walk away as a free agent next February. What gives? Some are reading this as a fracture in the Steelers' player personnel philosophy under second-year general manager Omar Khan and his right-hand man, Andy Weald. The pair are ushering out players procured by their predecessor, Kevin Colbert, some analysts say. Najee, age 26, is just the latest to be thrown overboard, joining the likes of 2022 first-rounder Kenny Pickett. Or so this line of thinking goes. Now, since Tomlin has always been a vocal Najee guy, perhaps Khan and Weald even consolidated their power to overrule the coach on Harris's contract, some have speculated. Me? I just don't buy it. At its very root, this is a cold, calculating business decision, nothing more. And it's a sure sign that the devaluation of running backs in the NFL continues unabated. It's also a signal, however subtle, that the Steelers and Colbert overdrafted Harris, who looked to be a superstar coming out of Alabama. Instead, Harris has been perfectly average. Najee backers highlight the potential risks of Pittsburgh's play here. What if Arthur Smith does rev up the running game and Harris finally becomes the star back the Steelers drafted him to be? They worry about the always volatile locker room chemistry being badly shaken by the move to undercut one of the clear-cut team leaders. And they point to Harris's reliability, playing in all 51 games since being drafted, and his production. Three 1,000-yard seasons are nothing to sneeze at, right? Well, sharper, less emotional eyes see the ruthless wisdom of the Steelers' move. Among those with clearer vision is Pittsburgh Post-Gazette columnist Paul Zeiss. He argues forcefully that the Steelers are making the correct call on Najee. He writes, quote, "Harris was an elite running back at Alabama and had the combination of size, speed, and ability to catch passes and run. It seemed like he would be the ultimate weapon. it hasn't materialized, as Harris has been mostly disappointing as the Steelers' primary running back over the past three seasons, unquote. Those 1,000-yard seasons? Actually, 3,269 yards on 834 carries with 22 rushing touchdowns and 6 receiving scores to be exact? Well, nothing special, really. Size argues the 1,000-yard threshold is a relic from bygone days when the league played just a dozen games, not 17. These days, putting up 1,500 yards is the bare minimum for a bona fide backfield star. Perhaps the biggest thing the Najee diehards are overlooking could be the other runner in the Steelers' backfield. Unlike Harris, who was taken near the top of the draft in 2021, Jaylen Warren came in the following year as an unheralded, unrestricted free agent. He opened eyes in his first training camp by exploiting any hole or crease he was given. His churning legs and low center of gravity maximized every gain. He never took a play off, and when he wasn't toting the rock or catching a pass, he was blocking downfield with vengeance and aggression. He became a fan favorite, eking out more playing time and more production in each successive season. Last year, Warren carried the football 144 times for 784 yards and 4 scores. True, Warren still hasn't established himself as an every-down running back, but he has looked to be the more explosive splash playmaker, and we've yet to see him in Arthur Smith's system, which could funnel Warren the football in multiple ways. Moreover, the Steelers have him for a song, a bargain, and they retain control through 2025. The bottom line for Zeiss and presumably the Steelers, Najee Harris just isn't elite. He hasn't earned the nearly $7 million guaranteed that it would have cost the Steelers to retain his very replaceable services through 2025. In a league where running backs have become commodities, Harris is expendable. Now, should he become the true superstar in Smith's system this season, the Steelers have an answer for that, too. It's called the franchise tag. The team could apply it to Harris next February while trying to work out a multi-year deal. Until then, the Steelers are content to wait and see if Najee can become more than his very average per carry average of just 3.9 yards. If not, he'll be replaced, and quite easily at that. Hey, we have much more on all the post-draft fallout in Pittsburgh as the 2024 Steelers truly take shape. This includes the latest on filling some still considerable roster holes that remain. It's all in a pre-mini-camp edition of your Steelers Update podcast. And be sure to check out my full print column first thing Thursday on Penn Live. It will be packed with plenty of memes, bringing the latest greatest Steelers debate to life and to laughs. Right now, let's get right to it. The Najee Harris move is creating quite a stir in Steelers Nation. General Manager Omar Khan, held as a hero in the 412 area code following his A-plus draft, now seems to be on somewhat shaky ground should his decision on Harris's fifth-year contract option cause a flat tire in that all-important Steelers running game. In short, Steelers Nation is not above second-guessing Khan and company when it comes to the Najee question, as well as the lack of action in filling the wide receiver 2 position on this 2024 team. And then there's the matter of what Khan should do with tackle Dan Moore now that he could be expendable and tradable in the wake of the O-line heavy draft class that we just hauled in and got high marks for. Now, case in point of this growing doubts, clouded by these hot-button topics, is some select passages from a recently posted reader mailbag column on The Athletic. I've called the highlights of some of the most nervous Steelers fans and what The Athletic's Mark Caboli had to say to ease their concern. First up, we have Derek S. He asks this, quote, "How do you think Harris will react to having his option decline? Is there a chance he'll sign an extension, or is this the end of the road?" Caboli says, quote, "It's hard to say how he will react. I can see him taking it in stride, or I can see him making noise over it. You never know with him. I'm sure he feels disrespected, but it won't benefit him if he dwells on it. As for the extension, that's not going to happen. It's difficult to come up with a legitimate scenario in which he comes back next year. If he puts up another good year, he'll test free agency and get paid a decent salary. If he doesn't produce this year, why would you want him back? That's what you have to consider when you decide not to pick up the fifth-year option," unquote. Jimmy H. asks, "What's the odds on trading Moore before the start of the season?" Caboli says, quote, "Slim." Well, I'll put it this way. Spencer Anderson would have to have a spectacular preseason, and the number one draft pick, Fontenot, would have to win the starting job on the line, probably at right or left tackle. Even then, I wouldn't do it. You have depth with Dan Moore, and you want to give him away for a day 3 pick? No thanks, unquote. As for which wide receiver the Steelers would most likely trade for, well, Caboli, as he often does, gets right to the point in answering Ricky G. He says, quote, "It won't be Terry McLaurin or anybody else associated with the San Francisco 49ers. It might be somebody nobody is talking about," unquote. In other words, the Steelers are looking at door number 3 when it comes to that wide receiver 2 position. We shall see. Now, Mark Caboli, who is the lead beat writer for the Steelers for The Athletic, does give us a little more insight into this very intriguing Steelers hunt for another pass-catching threat to pair with third-year budding superstar George Pickens. Now, the way the big guy sees it, the Steelers and Khan are slow playing their hand, attempting to maximize the value that they ultimately land in Pittsburgh. Here's a little more from Caboli and The Athletic on that intriguing wide receiver 2 situation in the burg. Caboli says, quote, "Unless the right price is attached to the player that they are looking for, it's not going to happen." Caboli says this right from the start of his article. And then he goes on to add, quote, "They have enough money to do whatever they want, but they have to be cognizant that James Daniels and Pat Freiermuth are up for extensions and are entering the final year of their contracts." There's also the question of bigger deals for Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields, whom they'll pay a combined $4.4 million this year. That situation is right on the heels of those upcoming contracts. And then you have George Pickens and TJ Watt up for extensions next year, unquote. In other words, it's not just about the wide receiver two position. It's about all this other stuff that you have to allocate money for in keeping this team together now that it's coming into place. So that's the backdrop. But the need in the receivers room is real. Caboli describes it this way, quote, Pickens is a star in the making, but his impact will be limited somewhat if he doesn't have a capable receiver opposite him. Third-round pick Roman Wilson could make an immediate impact, but there's only so much he'll be able to do from the slot. The number two receiver behind Pickens is Van Jefferson. He has 113 career receptions and 24 or fewer in three of his four seasons in the NFL. The player with the most upside is Calvin Austin III, who has 17 catches in 17 career games. Rounding out the group are Quez Watkins, Denzel Mims, and Marquez Callaway, unquote. In short, there's a lot of who's, what, and where's. A lot of question marks in that receiver room. So there's plenty of room for an impact addition there. But there are other needs on that 2024 Steelers roster as well. Khan, presumably, is looking to fill those too. Caboli tells us those needs in a somewhat lengthy list. Quote, cornerback, slot corner, defensive line, and depth at edge rusher are also on the list. There are plenty of options out there, and the longer the Steelers wait, the cheaper they will get, unquote. So it's not just slow playing the wide receiver two position, it's really slow playing the completion of this roster and waiting out the market for some of these players at that list of positions that we just gave you. It's a waiting game. And we know one thing from the draft where the Steelers did not trade up, despite coveting players that were dangling right there, they patient. Khan, Steelers are patient. The bottom line from Caboli, quote, at this point of the offseason, the Steelers are looking for value, even if the need, like for an experienced wide receiver, and for that matter, some of those other positions we just mentioned, even if those needs are significant, unquote. Now, unfortunately, for the passionate fans in Pittsburgh, they just aren't that patient. But as they say, good things come to Steelers fans who wait. But you don't have to wait. Get the Steelers Update podcast fresh and steaming with hot takes every Wednesday afternoon, fresh and hot off of my microphone. Just sign up wherever you get your favorite audio and podcast, and you'll get it automatically. And of course, log on PennLive.com anytime for your real-time Steelers news. See you next week.